I want to share with you a few interesting things about the parasha from the Sefer Oitzer Pilaos HaTorah, the Pilei Ploim Sefer. He has some very nice things in this parasha. First thing, there's a very difficult Rashi, the famous Rashi, the Zois HaTshuma Shatiklu Meitam Zohav Chesef Ulechoshes. Among the materials is gold, silver, and copper. Why did they need? Now, there is a very strange idea. Why did they need in the Mishkan, silver? Think about it. What was silver? What do they need silver for? They need the silver for the Adonim, but that came from the Machsa Shekel. There were three collections of Machsa Shekel. There were silver coins that were used to pay for the Korbanos, and there was Berek Habayis, and there was silver that was used for the Adonim, but that's it.
We had it in the Beis Hamikdash.
They were bowls.
The Mizrach Basle Goyes, they had that in the Mishkan. They had to bring up the Karbonis. They did pitchforks, whatever.
Those now made from silver. They were made from Barzel. They were made not from Barzel. They were made from Zohav.
The Choshes. Gold is too soft.
Right, so it was made from the Choshes, from copper, not from silver. Silver also will be wounds. It's not likely we use a pitchfork of silver. No such thing doesn't exist. Silver pitchforks?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. But there is this Rashi. This Rashi says that with regard to the silver, there was the Adonim that came from the Machsa Shekel. So the question is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu making a campaign? He's soliciting donations from silver. Rashi says, "Ushor hakesef haba sham binedava os uhu lichlei shores." So this is a famous world question. What clay sharis? Explain to me, what clay sharis were there? Chatzoitzros asel l'cho, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's personal trumpets. Asel l'cho chatzoitzros kesef. Asel l'cho, that was only Moshe. Moshe, that was kesef, that was Moshe. The only trumpets we have in the Mishkan were trumpets of Moshe Rabbeinu, personal trumpets. It's a very big question, and among the people who asked this question was Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he concludes with Tzorchin. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer called Tam Vidas on the Brayso of the Melechas HaMishkan. It's a Brayso which describes all the things of the Mishkan, and we really do not know what exactly they needed. They needed silver, which clay shari. So this person who wrote the sefer, he sent a letter. He sent a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky with an answer to the question. To learn Masechta Bava Basra, it's fascinating that it describes the dimensions of the Aron and the Luchos, and it says there in the Gemara that there were amudim, there were sticks of silver that were inserted inside the Aron Kodesh. I'll read you the words of the Gemara. Zeloshna Gemara himself Bava Basra. Nishtayir sham tefach, in the Aron there was a gap of one tefach. Shabo Amudim Oimdim. There were sticks, pillars were put there. Shenemar, it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Apiryon in Oslo HaMelech Shlomo, Me'atze Halavon, he made an Apiryon, he made a Beis HaMikdash. Amudov, its pillars, Osa Kesef. Now what are the Amudov? Rifid Osa is Zahav Merkavi Argamon. Rashi there explains, what are the Amudim? This is Rashi in Shir HaShirim. The Amudei Kesef that appear in Masechta Bava Basra that were put in the Aron. Now, well, here's the question. What in the world is the purpose of these sticks? There were sticks made from silver that were put inside of the Aron, right next to the Luchos. So the Shidu Mikubetze says something amazing. That's why this thing is called Otepolos. Why? What are they used for? How do we learn from the Sefer Torah? What do we do? Atzechayim. Right? You have the Atzechayim Sefer Torah, the Sefer writes it, you have two Atzechayim. A Megillah doesn't have any Atzechayim, it's a Megillah. In Sefer Nevi'im, there's a whole question. You have one Atzechayim, two Atzechayim, but a Sefer Torah has two Atzechayim. What was in the Aron, besides the Luchos, was the Sefer Torah Shekos of Moshe Rabbeinu. How was it put? It was rolled up into one book. What happened if they wanted to read from the Sefer Torah? Let's say Hakel, you take out the Sefer Torah and you read the entire Klal Yisrael. How do they read? They read from the Sefer Torah the same way we read from the Sefer Torah. They took the Sefer Torah and they put the front on one Amud, on one Atzei Chaim, and they took the end, another Atzei Chaim, and they rolled it to where you wanted to read from. So any time there was a need in the Beis Hamikdash for them to read, especially Hakel, they took out the Sefer Torah inside the Arum, the Luchos of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Luchos, they took out the Sefer Torah that was in the Arum Kodesh, they took out the Kapiris, they took out the Sefer Torah, they unrolled it, they had to prepare it, and they put one Amud on one end, one Amud on the other end. It was made from silver, and that's what the Amudim were. This is what was in the Arum Kodesh, and it was made from silver. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Amudov Osa Kesef, the fair silver. So the Mechaber of this Sefer, whose name is, I'm very big with him, Zichamin, of Zev Zichamin.
Megillah.
What?
So he holds Nitna Megillah Megillah.
Midna Megillah, Megillah, what do you mean?
Well, they give out because there wasn't a Torah till the end.
Till the very end.
20 years of
Midna. But at the very end. But at the very end, it was all put into one book, and then they used these two pillars to make the Atzei Chaim to hold through the Sefer Torah. So he suggested, Chaim Kanevsky, that's what they need the silver for. The silver for the clay shares, for the Amudim. Mm-hmm. Very interesting idea, because you want to suggest, like if Meir suggested, oh, there were trumpets, or there were some clay shares. You're right, perhaps that has to be the answer. But we're looking for something that we can put our finger on. We can put our finger on. The Amudim are something that we can put our finger on. It says that Beferish in the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra, there were Amudim, and it says Beferish in the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and Rashi explains it, and the Shir Mikvetz explains it. So here we can put our finger exactly what were the Shar Klei Shars that were used in the Beis Hamikdash. So he presented the same to Chaim Kanievsky, and I know a lot of people used to send him letters. They still send him letters, and the answer is very, very short, two, three words. And his response was, he wrote back a few words, so he wrote back four words in the letter. Ha'amudim einam klei sharis. It may be good, but it's not called a klei sharis. It's not a utensil. It's okay. That's the he goes on to say why not? Okay, that's the issue. Yes.
You were talking before about Minhag HaOlam.
Yes.
I just looked up the Mishnah Berurah.
Yes.
And the Chofetz Chaim to me was a kaddish. When he wrote the Siyata Deshmaya, he's talking about, you know, if there's not enough food.
Not enough mezonos, b'chdei achilas pras.
For the kill.
Yeah.
He says, if people eat tzuker lekach, that's like
sugar
egg kill. That's made out of sugar. He doesn't say minagayla. Listen to this word. Noyagim ha'olam levarach olam.
Noyagim ha'olam.
The people make this, and then he tells the reason why he doesn't think the rest. He says, but could be, there's a reason for it, could be, there's a reason again. He doesn't say minagayim, that's what we do. People are doing
Nohagu ho'olam.
Nohagu, that means
there's a very fine difference. There's a very fine difference between minag ho'olam and Nohagu ho'olam.
You know, Rav Avadi Yosef says on the minig that people have not to get married on the when the moon is waning.
Yeah.
He says it's not minag ho'olam, he says it's minag shtus. It has nothing to do with anything. The people Amaratzim accepted it and they made that into a minag. That's what he said.
They made a new religion.
So it's very
okay, you got to be careful. You have to be careful. But the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim has observed that in his time, he saw people were doing this. So now he wants to, are they right or wrong? He's not happy with it. He's not happy. And Moshe says, the Shloi Kedin?
But he's careful not to say Minhag HaOlam because
that's hard. Okay, absolutely. You're pushing to the choir. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Techeles, we have in this week's parasha the idea of Toilah Shani. What in the world is Toilah Shani? Okay, let's discuss this. I'll tell you a vart at the end of this whole process. If I would tell you the vart, I would say, oh, this is a Hasidish vart, leave me alone. It's a Hasidish vart. But what is so shocking when I get to the end of this vart is that this is said by the Baalei Tosfos. The Rishonim, the Baalei Tosfos. Now, can you imagine for the Baalei Tosfos to say this? It must have been the Baal Shem Tov must have been around then. If the Baalei Tosfos can say such a word, it must be that the Baal Shem Tov was alive then and was in disguise and had his and cast his influence upon the Baalei Tosfos. What?
Rabbi Nitam.
Okay. So what is the Vart? Now let's go through some of the background to this Vart. It's a very powerful Vart. Fascinating Vart. The Vart is as follows. It's a simple thing, but what is Toilah Shani? We learned that there are different types of materials. There is Techeles, Argomon, there's a set. Tafyom, not that long ago. Techeles, Argomon, the Toilah Shani. What is Techeles? Okay, whatever it is, it's wool. It's wool. That's the aside. Dyed the color of tchelas, the chila zayin. Okay, what is argamon? It's a wool dyed the color of a purple argamon. Argamon is purple. Some type of, I don't even know what argamon is. It's some type of herb, right? L'chor, it's an herb which grows from the ground. What is tolas shani? Big mystery, big machlokes. We know the chila zayin. We think we know what it is. It's the murex. Today there's a whole, they have a whole conference today, right? They have a conference on the tcheles, whatever. So we know the tcheles, it's a word, it's a fish, it's a, whatever it is, it's a shellfish, the murex, whatever it is. But what is the tolas shani? This no one has come around yet. There's no institution yet out there today that has told us what is the tolas shani. There's a machlokes between, it appears to be between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, what is the tolas shani. According to the Bavli, it's an herb. How do we know that it's an herb? Because they say, we have a tradition that l'mantia taras Hashem b'ficha, everything must be something which is kosher. The chalazin is kosher, right? It has to be the chalazin is kosher. Things and scales? I don't know. So what's the shellfish? Is not kosher?
No, there's a whole, I'll send you.
They have a discussion on that. It's that it's kosher. It's not the fish.
The same thing we had with the tartar, that since it's hard,
yeah. So you can say the same thing about the tolas shani also. All right. Yeah. But the tolas shani, according to the Bavli, appears to be an herb. A derivative of a thing which grows from the ground. It cannot possibly, the tolas literally means a worm. Tolas shani. The worm called the shani worm, which is red. So, but it can't be. Lamantia taras Hashem b'ficha. Davar hamuta b'ficha. You can't use worms for things that are used for the base of Middash. So you have to say that it's an herb. But Yerushalmi says fakert. Yerushalmi explicitly says that is a maila of using the tolas shani because it's coming from a living creature. And we want to use in the Beis HaMikdash things that come from life, chayim. The Mikdash is the source of life, so you have to use something which has a ruach chayim. So it's very clear, it's in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, if the tolas shani is a worm, there's a worm, or, I mean, what does it mean, a worm? It means the extract, the blood of the worm, whatever this is, or it means there's an herb, and the herb seemed to have a lot of worms. So that's why this herb was called the tolas shani, because it was infested with worms, but it was used from the vegetation portion, not from the creature that was a squatter on this herb. Fine. Now let's assume we take the position that indeed it is a worm. So we have the question of the Bavli. Laman tia taras Hashem b'ficha davar hamutaficha. You're not allowed to use davar that's also b'ficha. So the answer given by the Chasam Sofer and others is ponim chadoshos bo'olakat. It's not, you're not using a worm. You're using an extract from the worm, and you mix it with other ingredients, and you cook it, and you do this, you do that, and you make a dye, and the wool is red. There's no zecher of the worm. Ponim chadoshos bo'os lekan. Okay. And if you're not going to say this, the Chasam Sofer says, look at it now, he's talking about his generation. Today, all choshev people and everything in the Beis HaKnesses, we use silk. Silk was a big thing. Silk is a was. It's a big thing. Maybe today it's also a big thing. I don't know. They're all silk. So silk appears to have been even bigger in previous generations than it is today. Today, I don't know how big it is. Whatever. He's saying it's big, fine. Silk. Everything is silk. It's the most choshev garment today. And in the Beis HaKnesses, everything is silk. The mantle, the parochas. How can it be? We're using worms? Silk comes from a worm. How are you talking? Can it be? So obviously the Yisoid is Lamantia. It's Ponim Chadoshos Bo Lekan. That's why it's mud. Okay. Fine. That's the Yisoid. Enters the Bali Toisvis. Rabbi Seinu Bali HaToisvis Zichon Levracha B'Sefer Toisvis HaSholem. This was printed from Kisra Yad in 1981. He has the whole history of who wrote the Sefer. Person already was Nifter. He brings down from the beginning of the Sefer who this person was. He collected the Kisra Yad from the Bali Toisvis that were never seen before. He put out a Sefer, a volume, and it says there an incredible insight. Why do Choshev people wear garments made from silk? Because a garment is the kavod shel adam. Kavod. The way you distinguish yourself, I'm better than you, is I wear a bekesha, I wear a frock. You know, the clothing is your kavod, is your honor, is what gives you honor.
Makes
the person. And what does it come from? It comes from silk. Silk, that's the most chashva type of clothing. And what does silk come from? Worms. It's to remind the person that the end of your kavod will be rima v'toileya. That's where you're heading. Don't let the kavod that the clothing give you get to your head. Rima v'toileya. Like I told you, if you tell me this is a chassidus shavart, it fits the script on the mark. But if the Bali tells us to say this, it's not typical. We have a Rishon would say something like this. But that's what it says. Fascinating.
You saw it. Makes sense that it was in the Mishkan too, because you had all the threads. You consider you had golden thread and you had worm thread. Everything mixed together. To show.
Well, there was not worm thread. There was no worm thread. There was gold thread.
Six or seven.
Right, dafyom means seven. That was gold. Only gold.
Gold?
Oh, no, there was wool. It was all wool, linen, according to one opinion, linen, a strand of linen, and gold. Gold, but there was no silk. Okay, let's go to another idea. There was Talashani is red. It's worm. Okay. Okay, then you're saying. Okay. Right, you're saying Talashani comes from worm. The Talashani comes from the rest of the worm. It's a reminder of that a person's ultimate goal is Rima.
You saw the
Chalas,
you saw the color of the Shemayim, and you saw the...
Very good, that's a very good point. That's a very beautiful idea. Chalas reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, and the Argamon is the... The Talashani reminds you of Rima V'Toleya. We have the opposite. That's a very nice idea. Very good. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to a Vart, another, a real Chassidish Vart from the Satmar Rav. Satmar Rav, I can't figure out if he says this or he's saying this on his own, but we have an idea. We have a famous expression that we wish a chasan kala. The zivuk should be oile yoch. So where does it come from? The zivuk is oile yoch. So the most popular, what's Josh Silverman?
He answers that.
So the most popular answer, we've all heard this, is we say every day after Shema. Emes, v'yatzev, v'nochon, v'kayim, v'yosha, v'nemon, v'ohu, v'chove, v'nechmo, v'nohim, v'norah, v'adim, v'sukum, v'kul, v'tov, v'yofe. We're giving you all the brachas. It should be emes, and nochon, and yoshar, kayim, choviv, ohu, v'nechmo. Beautiful things. You can't go say this all. You know, it's not like Rosh Hashanah. It's too long. Everyone to go. So you just say oile yafe, meaning that you have all the brachas. Alamilas. That's what Josh Silverman says.
That's the Josh Silverman.
Okay, it's a beautiful, beautiful var. We're giving you. It's a short form. We want to give you all the brachas, all the 16 things. It's a beautiful var. Probably everyone here heard that var at some point in time. But I saw a new var from the Satmar Rav. Why we say oile yafe? He says in the Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch counts all the mitzvot to see the parish as HaShavua. Sefer HaChinuch, it's holy stuff. You have to assume that the way he calculates the mitzvot, there's something to it. It's not just Stam that, he just picked out of the hat mitzvot and put them together. He learns these are the Tayag mitzvot in the order. And there's something significant to the order. What is the 95th mitzvah? According to the calculation of the mitzvahs and the Seder of the Torah, l'fi the chinuch. The 95th mitzvah is the osuli mikdash v'shachanti b'sochan. What is tzadi hei b'gematria? Yofe. So Satmar Rav seems to say when you wish a chasan kala, the zivik should be oile yofe, it means you should build a bayis nemun b'yisrael. When you really wish the chasan kala is I'm giving you bracha, I'm giving you mitzvah, you should do the Mikayim Mitzvah Yofe. What's the Mitzvah Yofe in the Torah, the Tayag Mitzvahs? Mitzvah Yofe, Yofe is Bigmatria 95. What's the 95th Mitzvah in the Torah? V'shachanti b'soichan. Chosan ish v'ish v'shalom b'neihem. Shechina b'neihem. It's a Mikash Ma'at. V'shachanti b'soichan. Powerful stuff from the Satmar Rav. That's the right. That's the right.
That's like the Balaturah.
Okay, now you can. Let me now tell you another. Okay, this is a very short part. He quotes Moshe Rabbeinu was niskasha. This is pasha on the menorah. Miksha teosa haMenorah. Why is it teosa? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand how to make the menorah. So Hashem, you know what? Forget it. There's a medrash. Hashem wrote it on his hand. He made a design on his hand. You read such a medrash. He etched it on his hand. All these different techniques, and after everything was said and done, all the tricks and tricks of the trade, nothing worked. And Hashem said to Moshe, you know what, just forget it. I'll do it. Just take the metal, throw it into the fire, and it'll be done for you. There's certain things that you'll never learn. Okay. Now that was not the only thing. There was something else Moshe couldn't figure out. That was the Machsa Shekel. Right? Machsa Shekel, Hashem had a show, what is Machsa Shekel? And then there's another thing of the animals. the animals Moshe Rabbeinu was unable. Kosher, the non-kosher. Okay, there are four things the Medrash gives. The first one is the question, though: what happens? Arish Chodesh, the Moilat, the Moilat, the Shratzim, the Shratzim, different. So the question is: there's something else that's very complicated, which we really have no clue. It's a big mystery. What did the Kruvim look like?
Yeah.
Who has a clue? Anyone have all these? I always laugh and look at these picture books. How they make the Kruvim. Art's going to, I'm not saying bad, it's, you know, you got to do something, so the best you can do, you do what you can do. But no one really knows what the Kruvim look like. So Moshe Rabbeinu, how could Moshe Rabbeinu possibly know what the Kruvim look like? What, so maybe he went to Shemayim, he saw the Kruvim. And also the Kruvim, it's a mikshah, it's one piece of metal. So why isn't L'chor, if you would have to guess which thing Hashem would do for Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Kruvim, throw the metal in and the Kruvim will come out. How come no such thing happened? So he says here, a Jewish. Who says this svart? This svart comes from his own idea. Val derech hadorash yesh loimar. He goes through the follow-up of why, but it's because the kruvim represent children. It's the tzur of the tinoik and the tinoikes. And he's saying, the musar is, children don't come out good on their own. There's no such thing as taking your children. Shiva, take them. I don't want to know from them. I'll pay you tuition. And they'll come out perfect.
Make sure.
There's no such thing as throwing the children into the fire and they'll come out okay. You want the children to come out okay. You have to take a chisel and get to work. You have to work on the children so the menorah maybe will come out by itself, but there's no such thing as the children come out by Aleihem. Okay, let's go to another very beautiful part. He has in the Kodesh HaKodesh, everyone knows this Hakdama. I'm going to tell you, you've all definitely heard this part. It says in the Pasuk, make the Kruvim shall look ish el achiv. They shall face each other. The Kruvim must face each other. Ufneyem ish el achiv el akaparis yupnei akruvim. Now we know Chazal tell us that the contradictions. In Melachim, one place it says the Kruvim were not looking at each other. One place it says they were looking at each other. How do we reconcile the contradiction? So the answer is, bizman she yisrael oisim ritzene shal makoim, they looked at each other. Bizman she ein oisim ritzene shal makoim, they looked apart. Hashem was not satisfied with the Klal Yisrael. What's the famous question? We know that when the Goyim came into the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Chum Bayis Rishon, when the Babylonim came in, the Vuchanetzar, sending his people in the Vuzad, and they came in, what did it say? It says they saw the Kruvim, Ne'uravim Zebazeh. It's explicit that the Kruvim were embracing one another. And the Goyim said, what? Klal Yisrael, they have such things. They have a Zohar embracing the Tzur. They were shocked. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what the Kruvim were all about. But we learn from this Gemara clearly that the Kruvim were facing one each other. But this was the moment in history where Yisrael is ain oisim ritzayna shel makam. Klal Yisrael were sinners. That's why Hashem had to destroy the Beis Hamidrash. So if there's ever a moment in time when the Kruvim should not be looking at one on each other, it should be at this moment in time. And yet at this moment in time they're looking at one on each other. Contradiction doesn't go with everything we learned. So everyone knows the answer. The answer borders on the idea. This was the ultimate chiba, that Hashem had chiba for Klal Yisrael by He destroying the Beis HaMikdash and not destroying us. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was an exchange for not destroying Klal Yisrael. So this was a moment of chiba that Hashem had for Klal Yisrael. Or if you want to put it in more homiletic terms, Chayiv Adam Lifgoid Es Ishtai B'Shosh Sheyotzei L'Derech. When a husband leaves his wife, so he has an obligation to Lifgoid Es Ishtai, to visit his wife. So saving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leaving Klal Yisrael. He's showing them one last expression of chibah to keep us going during the Gauls. Okay, these are popular answers. Okay, now here he enters Eitzah HaPalos. He says the following vart. When the Kohen Gadol came out of the Kodesh HaKadosh when Yom Kippurim, he goes in the Kodesh HaKadosh. What's in there? The only one thing in there, the Aron, right? The Luchos. He comes down. On his way out, he has a tefillah kitzara. A short tefillah, and the tefillah tzara, he says the Mishat Parnasa, and Nusach Lo Yitztaruchu Amcha Beis Yisrael Ze Lo Ze V'Lo La'am Acher. One man, we should not need one another, and we should not need to come on to the Umos Olam. Everyone should be independent. Everyone should Parnasa be independent. What's the significance of this Nusach Atzilah, especially when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadosh? All things that you would be mispah when you come out of the Kodesh. Why this? So he explains here. From Hagoyin, Rav Aaron Mordechai Brisk Shlita. What a name, right? Brisk Shlita. I don't know. That's what his name is. The following idea: there's a medrash. The medrash says that when in Shemayim there's a kitroik on a person, when there's a kitroik on a person, so he's in trouble. Vez and Shemayim gets together, what should we do with this person? So some say they are Makatrim, Sanegar, Makatrik, and let's say the person is really guilty. So when the defense gets really desperate, things are not going the way of the defense team, the defense pulls out card and says, listen, you're right, he's very bad. But compared to the other guy in shul, he's a tzaddik. And if that guy gets off the hook, so why should this guy get off the hook? That guy got off the hook because of whatever reason. So that's the ultimate defense. When it gets really bad, listen, the guy, look at the guy next to him. You're not shopping him, so don't shop him. That's now let's say Klal Yisrael is in trouble as a whole. There's a kitruk. The whole Klal Yisrael is not doing Ritzon Hashem Makom. And the defense tries everything they can to be Malamed Zuchus, and then it doesn't go well. So what's the ultimate defense, the last card? Listen, Klal Yisrael, but compared to Ammon and Moab, compared to what goes on in Syria, what goes on in Egypt, that's tzaddikin. So therefore, go easy on them. And it works. The Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what does he see in Yom Kippur? He sees the Kruvim. Hopefully the Kruvim are embracing one another. They're embracing one another. Now let's take a step back. Let's take a step back to the original question. When the Goyim came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what did they see? They saw the Kruvim embracing. Embracing one another? But Klal Yisrael is not Oisim Ritzon Hashem Makom at this point, and they're not doing Ritzon Hashem Makom. They should be looking far apart. What was happening here, according to this Chazal, I don't know where this Chazal is. You have to look in the little letters here. He quotes the sources. Well, there's a whole different answer. The whole different answer is that Klal Yisrael, Hashem was telling the Umos HaOlam, you're seeing Klal Yisrael compared to you at Tzaddikin. It's true. When Klal Yisrael is all alone, the Goyim are outside the Chel, they don't dare step in this place, Taka, the Kruvim are not looking at each other. Because Klal Yisrael are not Oysim, it's Sene Shalok, Hashem is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But now when the Goyim have entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Vuzardan has come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so now the Kruvim look at one each other. It means, Taka, Klal Yisrael themselves are not doing Ritzon Hashem Makom. But relative to you, you Goy, we are Mu'uravim Zebezeh, we're Oysim Ritzon Hashem Makom. Relative to you, when you want to bring a Goy into Klal Yisrael, then Mu'uravim Zebezeh. So that's why now, B'davka, then Mu'uravim Zebezeh, because now the Goyim have come in. When the Goyim are outside and it's just us, then they're separate. But when the Goyim come in and they're face to face with the Kruvim, so us compared to them, we're facing a kolish one each other. Now take this and then extrapolate this a bit further. Klai is Yom HaKippur. It's Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin HaGadol, Yom HaKippur, we're looking for Kapara. The Kohen Gadol comes in, and when the Kohen Gadol comes in, he sees Taka, the Kruvim, hopefully they are looking at one another. But why are they looking at one another? There can be two reasons. They can be looking at one another because Taka Klal Yisrael is Oitzim Ritzon Hashem Makom, or because we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. We're in a desperate situation. It's because only relative to the Goyim when we're looking at one another. So when the Kohen Gadol walks out, he says, Hashem, Lo Yitzterchu Halavai, the Kruvim will be looking at one another in their own merits. Because the Taka, it should not be Lo Yitzterchu Amcha Beis Yisrael Ze Lo Ze. I don't need to survive on this Yom Kippur because the defense says I need someone else to save me. Why do I need Zeh lo Zeh? You know why Hashem's going to forgive me? Because compared to you, I'm a tzaddik. We don't want that. V'lo la'am acher. Our merit in din should not because we're just better than the other nations, which I think Hashem says. Hashem told us that when we came to Israel. Not because he's so good. It's because of the abominations of the nations of the world. That's why I'm throwing them out. It's not, it should be, so that's one, that's B'davka, why? Because when you see the Kruvim, the Muravim Zeh B'Zeh, why? Is it because for real? Or is it because it's a Geder of Zeh Lo Zeh L'am Acher? It should not because of the secondary reason, Halavai, we should rise to a Madrega where the Kruvim are looking at each other in our own merit, not because of someone else.